It is Friday once again. The joy, the excitement, the love of God and living in His kingdom continues to be in us as we today again gather, beloved of Europe, on North America, brothers in the Philippines, brethren, we bless you and greet you in this wonderful day. Bishop Elmer Belmonte, thank you again for this opportunity to be co-sharing and being a laborer with you in this task that we have. There is a certain story of a woman who was in a church one time, and after the Mass, she lingered for a long time. It was the last Mass, so they were switching off the lights, they were closing the doors. And so the parish priest approached this woman and sat beside her in the pew, by the pew, and said to her, "Dear beloved sister, is there anything that I can help you in?" And the woman turned to the priest and she said, "No, it's okay, Father. I have just been thinking, if that gospel," referring to the gospel of the Mass, "if that gospel is true, then I must change. If the gospel is true, then I must change." This is what Lent is supposed to bring. This is the gospel. This is the life it gives to us. If this is true, and it is, then we must change. Be transformed from glory to glory. As we walk with Christ through this time and season, as we have seen in our previous teachings, that the goal is Easter, the Christian Passover. You know, I like what we are going through in our Sunday Masses on the journey of desire. That's something I believe that is so much so true. When we look at that, when we started with Zacchaeus, if you remember, during the first Sunday in Lent, and then last Sunday, we continued this thought of desire, of really wanting to change, desiring to be like Christ. Because Christianity is not really a life of morals, of right and wrong. It is, that is, right and wrong. But more than just a life of right and wrong, Christianity is a life of desire. A life where it says, as the psalmist says, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." And as we come today, again, let us look at the readings that we have had, that has been proclaimed to us from the letter of Paul to the Romans and the gospel today. Let me begin with again another story. I'm sure you have heard about the story of this camel and her child. And the child was asking the mother camel, "Mom, why do we have big humps in our back?" Oh, the mother said, "Well, because in the desert, when we walk, we have to store a lot of water. There is no water in the desert, and we need to survive. And the humps are there to store the water." "Oh," said the child. "And why do we have round, big hooves?" The feet of camels, or the hooves, are round and big. "Oh, that is so that when we walk through the desert sand, we will be able to sink in the sand, but we will be able to walk well, even in the sand which is loose. Carries us through the desert, my child." "Oh," said the child. "And why do we have long eyelashes?" The child said, "Oh, that is, the long eyelashes are there to be able to be like filter when there is a sandstorm. The small particles of sand will not get to our eyes." "Oh, that is nice. We have these humps for water in the desert. We have these hoofs for our walk in the desert. We have these long eyelashes for the sand in the desert. But my question, Mom, really is, why are we in the cage in the zoo? Why are we in the cage in the zoo when we were designed for desert life?" You see, many times that's what we are. We are caged in. And we are imprisoned in this life we have. You see, this is the whole issue of the questions of the Jews with Christ in our gospel today. Freedom or slavery? We think we are free. We are a nation of freedom. You know, when the people of the Philippines, they sing the Lupang Hinirang, when the Americans sing the Star Spangled Banner, or when the Le Marseille from France, or the Real Madrid from Spain, or even the song about the Deutschland Lied. We see all of these anthems and we feel a sense of nostalgia to feel about our freedom. Because this is the world we live in. We think we are free, and yet, in spite of that freedom, many are still enslaved. We have been designed in our lives to a life of greatness. We are designed by God to a life of victory and overcoming. And yet, for some reason, we are not living the life that God has meant us to live. We are caged in. We have all of these resources that Christ has given, but we are not able to use them in the place where we should be. Like that mother and child camel, we are caged in. And we see that this limits our potentials. In many things in life, we have to realize that real freedom is not so much doing what you want to do. Saint Augustine tried to differentiate this. He said that one kind of freedom is the freedom of choice, where I can do what I choose to do. I have the choice to wear a black dress or a brown dress. I have the choice to wear shoes or rubber shoes. Those are what we call the freedom of choice. But these are just mundane, ordinary, day-to-day life choices. But there is a deeper and a more profound freedom that God wants us to understand. It is what we call the real freedom that Christ gave us. It is the freedom to say yes to God, unhampered, unburdened by sin. We say yes to the life giver. We say yes, Lord, to what God wants and desires. This is what we see. In Romans, our reading earlier, it says that in Romans chapter 6, the writer of Romans said that you are no longer slaves to sin. Christ has set us free. In Galatians 5:1, it says there, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. You see, this freedom is more than just, I want to choose what I want. This is my choice. But it's a freedom that chooses to say, yes, Lord, I am willing. Unhampered, unburdened by these things that keep us. But Paul said, I want to do good. But, you know, I end up doing evil. And what is that in my life? Now we have been set free. Remember the end part of that Romans 7 scripture says that, who can deliver me from this body of sin? Thanks be to God that in Christ we have the victory. In Christ we have the liberty. And that's why now we can live our lives the way God intends us to have. Freedom. Christ, it says in John chapter 8 in our gospel today, has set us free. And if He set us free, then we are free indeed. We are free in reality. We are free more than just to make choices. We are free more than just a political kind of freedom. We are free because we are now given the liberty, the release from the captivity of sin and the burden of our enslavery to that. We are now free to be able to enjoy the good life, the wonderful life, the beautiful life that God has intended all of us to have. When we do walk with Him, in this season of Lent, we must change from our concepts of self. I like what Bishop Elmer said last Sunday, that we, all about Christianity is not about what we are doing, but it is about what God is doing in our lives. When we transform ourselves to that mentality, we can be set free, and that freedom will give us the life that God intended us to have. We are free. Let us walk in that freedom. God bless you.